a way that we've never done before. Help us to do that today, God. We understand that you are the source. You're the source of all things that are good. And we choose to trust in you this morning. May our hearts mend with yours. As we sing songs, we lift ourselves up before you, God. We thank you for all your wonderful works in our life. In Jesus' holy name, amen. And now let us stand for worship.
Father, we just want to thank you that we can call you Abba. What an endearing title, Daddy, Daddy. And I know myself, I struggled with that for a long time. And I still do somewhat today. Lord, so I pray that barrier, Lord, that wall, God, of distance that isn't there, that you're the one, God, that said you are Abba. You're the one that said you're our Father and you're our Daddy, you're our Papa. Whatever endearing term, Lord, that we have in our own hearts, Lord, where we can think of you, Lord, as the one that we can just go and embrace, and for some of us just jump on your lap, Lord, I pray that would be fixed in our hearts today. Lord, that we would not let, Lord, our past experiences, Lord, with earthly fathers and earthly mothers, God, skew and keep us from seeing, Lord, how good you are, how much you love us, how much you care for us, how much you're in our lives. So, Lord, I just release right now, Lord, anyone in this place, anyone that's hearing my voice right now that has been in any kind of bondage to a false reality of who God the Father is, would be set free right now. That there would be a fresh understanding, a fresh impartation, Lord, of the reality of being a son and daughter of God. And not just a son and daughter from a distance, but a son and daughter that enjoys the embrace of the Father. Lord, I release that right now. I release that into hearts. I release that into mind and thinking patterns. I release that, Lord, into soulish areas, God, of mind, will, and emotions that have been wounded and damaged and battered and bruised, God, by the circumstances and belief systems of life that has skewed and made it so that they do not see you for who you truly are. I release them from that right now, Lord. I release myself and anyone else, Lord, that's hearing my voice right now. Thank you, Lord. You're a good, 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 good Father. You're a good, good, good Daddy. And we just receive that truth into our hearts. Cement it in today, Lord. That when we leave this place, that is our view of you, and that will be the view that we maintain from here until we see you in person, face to face. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. just release right now, God, your grace. Let your perfect work be done right now in our hearts, God. We wait on you. Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Well, hallelujah. I'm going to start off with this. This is our One Life Family Worship cleaning sheet. And what it means is that you will sign up to clean the church about once every 6 weeks. Is that what it is now? If more people sign up, once every 8 weeks. We share the cleaning of the church with the Journey Church, who comes in at 2:30 after we finish our service here. And so I just want to let you know that it's not that often you have to clean. And it is greatly appreciated because it makes it so that many hands are making light work. You don't have to come in and try to figure out how to do it all yourself. We will show you. It doesn't take much, really. Well, it takes a lot, but it doesn't take that much. Yeah, Tara's like, don't say that. Yeah, it does take a little bit, but it does not take that much of your time. It's some crews have been the same people every week in other churches, so we don't have to have that here, but it's nice when we can share the load. So if you haven't signed up before, I encourage you to do it. And I'll go ahead. I know you guys are signed up, and so we'll just start right here. And if you try to pass the clipboard back, and Josh will help you, if he does not, this is the receipt you'll need for the chicken. If he does not see it making it. Praise the Lord. And so today after service, which will probably be pretty close to around the 12:30 time, we're going to be meeting downstairs. We're going to have a potluck. And so if you haven't come prepared for the potluck, it's okay. We bought some extra food. You can come down and join us. We will be having, you know, some chicken, I think, that we're getting. And Gay made a big pot of spaghetti. And so we have plenty of extra food if you didn't come and you didn't bring your food. So come down and join us. If you do feel like you just want to run the store real quick and grab something, that's fine too. Again, we should be done in time for you to have the time to do that. So it's right downstairs. Go down the stairs. And hi, guys. Right down the stairs. And then we're in that main fellowship hall, having some food. We were going to be outside at the park, but the weather's been so weird. Like, what time? I don't know what it is right now. It's cooler than what we thought it was going to be. But, you know, it's hard to say. It's just like a roller coaster this year. So we just decided we're going to go ahead and stay downstairs. And maybe when it gets a little more cooler, we can do something outside. So with that said, what's that? Someone say something? Okay. With that said, the children, you want to come on up? You want to come on up? Here she comes. High five. Good job, man. You got right down here. All right. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for these kids. We thank you for their hearts. And we pray today, Lord, as they go down, that they would be able to receive everything that you have for them today. And that they would grow into who you're calling them to be today and when they mature. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Hugs and loves. Always good to get hugs and love, right? All right. So you want me to turn the fan for you, right? What?
I'm cool enough. I'm good.
Oh, you're cool enough? Okay, we'll let the fan go towards the family. Turn a little bit more. Well, I guess the majority is there. Yeah, so let's see. Guess now I'm going to put one over here, huh? On Sunday morning. It's really not too bad in here, but that little bit of air really feels good. Okay. Hosea 10:12. So I'm going to let Gay start because this is her verse today.
So on Friday night, we had a church meeting, and we started with prayer, and it was really amazing prayer. And the Lord just dropped into my heart two words, and it's just fallow ground. And I'm like, fallow ground, I've heard it. Don't know where it's at in the Bible, but I've heard it before. So I looked it up, and then the Lord really spoke to me about this verse in Hosea 10:12. And as I began studying the word fallow, I realized that it described my heart in many seasons in my life over the past 25, 30 years. Those seasons were meant to grow me, to make me stronger in God. But there were times that I was mad about it. I did not want to grow, and I didn't want to have, you know, hard times. And we have a hard time understanding that hard times God can use for good in our life. And we tend to blame him for them. And that's very normal to do that. However, there is a very real enemy of our soul. And if he can come against us and keep us from being what God wants us to be and attaining what God wants us to attain, he will do it at every turn. So when I began reading this scripture, I think I'll go ahead and just...
We can go to it.
Oh, yeah, let's go to that. Oh, honey.
Oh, I forgot the deal, David.
Where is it?
I was running around this morning like a chicken with my head cut off. Sorry, David. There we go. You can look at it.
I'm
going
to let you read it.
Oh, she's going to let me read it. Hosea 10:12, sow for yourselves, this is the New King James Version, sow for yourselves righteousness, mm-hmm. reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he comes and rains righteousness on you.
So when I looked up that word again, fallow, it actually talks about how farmers, because back in this day when this word was written, the only industry there was farming. You know, they didn't have everything else like we do now, but everybody was a farmer. Everybody tilled the land. Everybody got food from the land. And so when Hosea is speaking this scripture, he's telling the people so that they understand what he's talking about, and gardening or, you know, whatever it is that they did, that really spoke to them because that was their life. That's what they understood. And so what would happen is there would be 6 years of fruitfulness or harvest or whatever on your land. But on the seventh year, you let the land rest. And at that point, this is when this fallow word comes in to operation, because if we're not very careful, if we are not cognizant of the fact that that's going to happen, and it does happen, then we're going to reject this work in our lives. But the earth did it. And so weeds grew up and thorns grew up. And so the farmer knew, even though he wasn't going to receive any crops out of that one plot of land, he knew he still had to keep that land broken up. He still had to go in with his tools and till up the earth. Does that make sense? Are you guys following what I'm talking about? That's our heart. This is talking about our heart. And I thought we were way done with the heart. But apparently God says we are not done with the heart. Because God wants us, it's our job to break up the land. Nobody else's. And we can do it with a good attitude or a nasty one, but it still needs to happen. And a lot of times we go kicking and screaming, I don't want hard times. I don't want, you know, times that aren't fruitful. I just, you know, why can't this just ride an easy ride until the very end? But if it wasn't easy right to the very end, we would never know what it was like to walk.
And we wouldn't grow.
And we would not grow. So so I got to thinking about this, and I'm on Facebook. Sorry, I am. My husband actually got me hooked on Facebook. Let me tell you how that happened. Oh, honey, you can use Facebook as a real good connection with like all your women, and it's a good thing. So he gets me on it, and then he gets off it.
But I'm getting back on.
He says he's getting back on.
No, I am going
to
get back on.
Really, I've truly tried only to use my Facebook for ministry. And so the reason that I'm telling you guys this is because exactly three years ago, I was in a really good season in my life, like fruitful. And I wrote this on my, I hope that I took a picture of it. Maybe I didn't.
You did on your phone.
Well, my phone isn't up here. Can you get it up on yours?
I'll try. Keep talking.
I was in a really good place in my life. Well, now Facebook brings back memories of what you did 1 year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago. So Facebook this morning, faithful Facebook, brought this back to me that 3 years ago I wrote this thing on Facebook, and boy, did it ever!
Okay.
That's it. Thank you so much, honey. Well, not exactly.
It's not all of it.
It's not all of it.
Okay. Well, let me keep working.
Anyway,
technology guy here.
I'm really sure that I took a picture of it though. But anyway, sorry guys.
So three years ago today,
I wrote this thing on Facebook, and it was about, what was it about? Do we know?
Yeah, it was whatever it was about.
Okay. You guys, I'm so sorry. I'm not normally this fumbled around, but it's not working today.
Hang on a second. I'm logging you on your account. Will that help?
Oh, it might. I don't know. We'll
see.
Since
I don't use my Facebook, I might as well
use mine.
So while she's talking, or while we're looking here, I do want to say this, that we have to have things in our lives that basically challenge our belief system, challenge who we think we are in God. And sometimes that comes in the forms of trials. I know, it was about questions, huh? That was it right there. Remember? It was about someone told you it was a
why?
Sin.
To, oh,
there
yes.
You go.
Thank you, babe. Okay.
Thank you, Lord.
So, yes, Lord. So what I wrote was that a very influential person in my life when I was young told me that it was a sin to ask God why. And 3 years ago, I was pondering that, and I got an answer from the Lord about that. Because how many of you guys have ever asked your dad why? Or mom? I mean, honestly, we all ask why at one point or another. And God made us like that. So to ask why, I don't feel is a sin. But boy, I felt this condemnation all over me because this person was so important in my life, and they told me...
Is that where you want to be?
They told me that it was sinful. And so God places things in our lives, and even if we question him why, it might be a better thing to do is question what. What is that in my life for? What do you want to accomplish through bringing this to me? What's the plan through all of this? Maybe he'll tell you, maybe he won't. 3 years ago, it was right at the end when that my dad had gotten really bad sick. And we were in Harborview. We were spending a lot of time there. And it just was just a real difficult time for us as a family. And I remember that we were down in the cafeteria one day as my dad is in ICU in Harborview. So, you know, that's a trauma hospital. So that means that you got to be really bad to be there.
He's fighting for his life.
And he's fighting for his life. And we're downstairs because we've been there already 2 weeks. And, you know, we're eating. And I'm just saying to my family, I'm saying, don't, you know, it's okay to be asking God, why is this happening? But more about it is, what do you want me to learn from this, God? Why is this happening is okay, but what do you want me to learn from this happening is what we should be asking. Because God places things in our lives to help us grow. And if we're not allowing those things to help us grow, then what we're going to do is we're going to hard pack our heart. Just like that fallow ground is hard packed and it's full of weeds and it's full of thorns. The farmer knows he needs to still keep that tilled up. We have to still keep our heart tilled up. We have to keep it where there's moisture in the land and ground, heart, where there is things that are still coming in, even if it's not producing anything. And see, that's why this, over this past 7 or 8 months, after having lost my dad, I'm like, God, you know, this is way harder on me than I ever thought it would be. Because, you know, 3 years ago, I'm saying, you know, we've already buried a child. I've already buried a sister and a grandmother. I've been through a really horrendous divorce that was brought on by adultery. And it hurt, deeply hurt. And I was able to say, God, thank you for that time when it seemed like it was hard-packed, hard earth. Thank you for that time because it did help me grow. It did help me to move on in God and to see what God had for me afterwards. And it was this wonderful, godly man. And but you guys, what?
What's I was trying funny? To smile at him.
But
you put me on display, so
sorry. But do you understand what I'm saying, though? And this last 7 months, it seems like it's been awfully hard, even harder than bearing a child and all of those things, because that he was my dad, that was my parent, that was, you know, it wasn't expected. God, you made him better 3 years ago, and now he's gone. Do you know what I mean, guys? But just even standing here this morning and worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth, I'm like, God, you're even using this for my good now. Like, I get it. I get it. But we, you guys, the songs we sang this morning, if you guys didn't notice, it was a lot of self-talk songs. I belong to you, God. You know, we're singing, we're reminding ourselves how good he is.
Come on. Exactly.
And we that keeps that heart tilled up. Does that make sense? If we allow bad things to take away all the crop and have a hard-packed earth, and we're fine with that, eventually you won't be fine with that. And God doesn't want you to be there and fine with that. He wants us to go through things to help us get to be better people, not just for us. Shauna is going through a real hard time right now. Her daddy is sick. She just got back from seeing him, Montana, Idaho. And she came downstairs this morning and she was helping me put out the tablecloths on the table. And she said to me, she said, God has let you go through what you went through with your daddy because now I'm going through that with mine. And he knew I needed you. God doesn't let us go through hard, tough times and times of no productivity just for us. It's so that we can grow from that and turn around and look at Shauna or look at Letty or look at Michelle and say, hey, been there, done that. Got the embossed t-shirt. Let me help you. Let me show you what Jesus did for me and help me through it. This time, it's been extremely difficult for me, but I'm getting there, which tells me we're winning. God's winning. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
We can live in a place that says, you know, God, this is just the way it's going to be from now on. But I will tell you this one thing. If God never moves in your life again, now I want you to hear me. If God never moves in your life again, what he's done for you in the past, saving your soul. You're sitting beside your family, the things that he has given you. If that's all that he does from this time now to forward, you still have to get to the point where you say it's worth it. Living for him is worth it, even if I don't feel one more thing. And in being able to say that, that's where God can move. And that's where God can work in your life. I'm sorry, I took this way off on some other tangent.
No,
we should probably
fine.
Get back. But
not necessarily.
It was a rabbit trail.
How many have heard of Mother Teresa?
Oh, yeah.
Calcutta. She literally became almost a street person. And then as she started bringing people into her place that she had, she started getting a better place to stay, and she had an orphanage. But she would sleep on the streets with people who had leprosy, people who had all kinds of diseases. She would touch and love. She loved the loveless. She really did. And there's actually a movie out now, but I had heard this previous to this. She would write these letters to her superiors, who were basically the bishops and stuff who were over her mission that she was part of in India. And she would say that it has been years since I felt the love of God, since I felt his presence. And these letters went on for years. But she continued to love those who were the ones that others wouldn't love. She continued to be there for the ones who no one else would be there for them. And she was working beyond her natural feelings. She was knowing, God loves me, I can love them. So what you were saying, I mean, that's, she had to live like that. She didn't, I guess, to almost her dying days, for whatever reason, she did not experience what some take for granted, the presence of the Lord, the joy of the Lord. I'm sure she had wonderful times with people and stuff, but she was talking about God's presence in a way that was tangible, that she knew she was sensing his love. And I think the movie's is called The Letters, if you're interested in it. But it was about Mother Teresa's life. So again, that was the New King James. Let's go to look at another version of that same verse. This is a Young Literal Translation. It says, so righteousness, reap love. Oh, we're going, okay, sorry. Sow for yourselves in righteousness. I'm going like, wow, that sounded like a different translation. Reap according to loving kindness. Till for yourselves tillage of knowledge. To seek Jehovah till he comes and show righteousness to you. The key here that I look, till for yourselves. In other words, this is an activity that we have to be involved in. We can't just say back, okay, God, till the ground, take care of it, fix me. It's a work, like Pastor Gay saying, that we have to work and engage with on our own. We have to make sure that we're speaking good communications to ourselves. Not, well, I'm just a stupid, no good, little, good for nothing, you know. Or, God doesn't love me, everybody hates me, I'm going to eat some more. You know what I mean? That, obviously, that's tongue in cheek. But we're saying talk that is not edifying. We're saying talk that's not building our heart up. Remember, out of the treasure of your heart proceeds the issues of life. We got to guard our heart with all diligence, and one of the ways that we guard it is by feeding it with good stuff. Right. Let's go ahead and look at the next one, Jesse. Thank you for wearing this hat this morning. So, this is the message. We love this translation of this verse. Sow righteousness, reap love. It's time to till the ready earth, and that's your heart. It's time to dig in with God until he arrives with righteousness, ripe for harvest.
Love that.
I love that. In other words, do it until, you know, I'm sure when she saw Jesus face to face, Mother Teresa now, it was all worth it. Do you guys think it was?
Oh, yeah.
She probably thought, oh, had I known more about what you were doing in me, because I'm sure it worked a work in her that she is carrying into eternity. And she had the revelation of what he was doing in her, and she could say, thank you, Lord, for what you did. At the time, it was miserable. But now that I know what you've done, I would have suffered more for the glory that I'm receiving now. That's Romans 8, if you want to ever check that out. It says that we think the sufferings of this present time are not even worthy to compare themselves to the glory that will be revealed right. in us.
Yes.
They're not even worthy. So I'm sure she said, what was I thinking? You know? Okay, next verse, Jesse. This is a New Living Translation. I said, plant the good seeds of righteousness, and you will harvest the crop of love. Plow up the hard ground of your hearts. Plow up the hard ground of your hearts. A hard heart. Plow it up. For now is the time to seek the Lord, that he may come and shower righteousness upon you. So this is a good illustration that if we maintain this attitude of I'm going to continue to persevere, I'm going to continue to speak right into my heart, I'm going to continue to plow, that a shower of righteousness will come.
Well, and it reminds me too that a lot of times as Christians, we tend to treat God, I'm not going to say that we say he is, but we treat God as if he's a genie in a bottle.
Yeah, rub the bottle.
Plow up the hard ground of your hearts. He's saying we do that, not God. A lot of times we say, oh God, okay, during this hard time, you take care of everything and I'll catch you at the end. Don't we do that?
There is no end when you do it that way.
We expect God to take care of everything because he let it happen in the first place. Dude. Come on now, you guys know you think it. Huh? But no. He says, when Job was going through everything that Job was going through, God was so sure of Job that he told the enemy, go ahead, do what you need to do. Job is my man. And that's what God is saying about each and every one of us. Or he wants to. And he's waiting for us to get it. He's waiting for us to say, okay, wait. This relationship with God is not just a one way. You do everything for me, God, that needs to be done, and don't mess with it. And then a lot of times when something bad comes, we put the halt on. Wait, whoa, 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 whoa. What are you doing? But it's a two-way street. Our relationship with the Lord is two-way street. And I will venture to say, he gives a lot more than I do.
Yeah.
Looking back, he gives a whole lot more than I do. I may not have been able to say that standing by the grave of our son, but I can say it now. I may not be able to say that when we drove over for the first time and saw my dad's burial place over at the National Cemetery in Tacoma, but I can say that now. We may not be able to during the time that it's so hard because we get so caught up in how hard it really is, but you will be able to. You should be able to. You should want to be able to. But it's two ways. It's my relationship with him and his with mine, with me. He did not come to give you a checklist of all the things you need to accomplish in your life, and when you check the very last thing, poof, you're going to heaven. That's not what this whole thing is about, guys. This whole thing is about he longs so deeply for you. The depth of who he is cries out to your deep. How many of you guys have relationships with people that it's so surface that it's just almost not even worth it? Seriously. Like they're just not capable of going down there. You guys already know that that's not me. I mean, I call it like I see it. I try to do it in a very nice way, but sometimes it, anyway. But that's what God wants to do with us. He wants it to be his deep calling out to our deep, but our deep replying to his. That's what it's all about. even in the hard times. I remember standing in the room as my dad is taking his last breath, and I'm saying in my mind, no, God, no, God, don't do it yet. Not yet, not yet. I'm not ready. I'm not ready. Like, I'm panicking inside myself. No, 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 no. But God's like, just one whisper, it's going to be okay. Trust me. And I knew that all the wanting and longing in my heart to have it hold off wasn't going to stop anything that God needed to do. I know my dad is in heaven and he's like, he's cheering me on. Baby, you've got the right, you've got the goods, you've got the right attitude. You've got this. You can do this. And how many times sitting in my cell group, ladies, how many times have I told you this? You've got it. God's got your back. He does. But you have to help him plow up sometimes. And that's hot and sweaty work sometimes.
Mm.
It's not bonbons, palm leaves. Maybe sometimes it is, but it's not. When you're plowing, there is not an automatic fan that comes out and follows you as you're plowing the earth. It's hot and it's sweaty and it's hard. But it's worth it.
There is some new technology. You can get in these big things and they're air conditioned and they have stereos and everything. So let's ask God for that kind of experience when we're plowing. Say, God, if it's in the natural, let's let this be in the spirit. That it's like,
cool me off, Lord.
Yeah, cool me off, Lord. Next verse, please. Jeremiah 4, 3 and 4. For thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and do not sow among thorns, and circumcise yourselves to the Lord, and take away the foreskins of your hearts, you men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn so that no one can quench it because of the evil of your doings. But this is about the heart again. This is about that circumcision of the heart, of one of the lessons that we taught. Go back to the last one for a second there. But break up your fallow ground and do not sow among thorns. What it sounds like is if that ground remains fallow, we're going to be sowing whatever God wants to do new in our lives in the old thorny area. And that does not always work well, which we will see in a few minutes. Go ahead. Next. Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit of the Spirit will reap everlasting life. What we're talking about in breaking up the fallow ground is sowing to the Spirit. If you want to make the ground more fallow, keep sowing to the flesh. It'll give more time for more weeds to grow. There's going to be more plowing needs to be done. I think the sooner when God says, start breaking up this fallow ground, because sometimes it's a process. In their process, they had to let the land lie for a year. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes our wilderness experiences go longer than we want. But God can use them so that they're in his timing. Go ahead, Jess. Mark 4, 14 through 20. And we'll end with this. How many have heard the parable of the sower sowing the word? We've heard it before. It's all about the heart. I was telling Gay, this is all about the heart. Seems like everything's about the heart. The sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown when they hear. Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their heart. So the wayside is a ground that is so hard that the seed can't even penetrate. That's more than fallow ground. I mean, I think in that kind of wayside, you won't even see weeds growing in it. It's so compacted. It's so hard. It's going to take a bulldozer or one of those big old hooks, you know, that a D9 T takes and busts that open. So that will take you and the Lord working together to get that so the seed will go into that one. These likewise are the ones who are sown on stony ground. When they hear the word immediately, they receive it with gladness. So the seed goes into the stony ground. And they have no root, though, because, again, there's so much stones, there's so much rocks, so there's not enough soil that it, when they endure, have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterwards, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. So this ground is not just ground that has, you know, hard, and but it has rocks. And so it's going to take a agitation to get the dirt and those rocks to where it's not just rocks that you're sowing in. I wish Ken was here, because I know when you sow into rocks, there's really no way for those roots to fully establish. They might start springing at first, but you know, once the sun and the heat come, it doesn't have enough of a root system and the water doesn't stay long enough. I mean, you pour the water in and it's gone. There's nothing to hold it there. All right. Oh, you did do it. Thank you. You're ahead of me. Now, it's like he knows what I'm thinking. It's amazing. Now, these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So this is the fallow ground that did not get tilled. It's still somewhat soft, but it's being sown in with the thorns. Remember what it said in Jeremiah? Don't sow your seed in the thorns. Why? Because when those seeds grow up, both the weeds and the good, the weeds choke out the good. And what is that? That is the cares of this world, the cares of this life, deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things. Everything other than God takes over your life.
The cares of this world. That's really amazing, because a lot of times that's what we think we're here for.
Yeah.
Is, you know, to just occupy until we come, he comes. But our occupation is what we want it to be, not what he wants it to be. And when he says that the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, to me what that's saying is that you are part of the world, but you're not supposed to be of the world.
Right.
That's what the scripture says. We have to be in the world, but we don't have to be of it. We don't have to come to church on Sunday, everything's good, everything's great, yeah, 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 and then walk out of here, and then all of a sudden everything flips back to where now, Monday through Saturday, we're living the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desires for other things. We have to understand that we don't have to live with that kind of thing coming in at us. We do sometimes, I want to use the word court it, you know, like we entertain it, but it's going to come to you, and you're going to have to be the one to say, no. You're going to have to be the one to plow and say, I need that out of there, because that's not from the Lord. And I remember talking one time at our Bible study, and I said to the ladies, I said, we have to start asking God, what do you want me to get out of this? What am I supposed to receive from this? What do I need to learn from this? That's what we need to do when the cares of the world come at us is, Lord, if you're letting this be part of who I am right now, what do you want me to learn from it? Do you want me to learn what? Not to worry about it so much? I mean, he does. He wants us to not worry and be happy. He does. But it's in him, not in the world.
It's good. And the final verse, but these are the ones who are sown on good ground. And I would think the good ground is the ground that broke up the fallow ground. Mm-hmm. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. So if you look, there was only really one soil that produced. There was only one heart that produced, and that was the heart that was prepared as good ground. And I believe every single one of us have the ability to be good ground. I don't care how bad your ground is right now. I don't care if you're hard pack right now. You say, yeah, seed goes in me and it just sits there on tops and the bird gets it. No, you can have God engage with you in such a way, or you can engage with God in such a way that even that hard heart, that hard, broken, bitter heart, it may be a wounded heart, maybe it was traumatized, it can be healed in such a way that it can be good ground. But you have to be willing. We all have to be willing. We all have to be willing to say, you know what, I have made mistakes. I have thought wrong. I have processed things wrong. I viewed you wrong, as I was saying earlier. And now what I want you to do is correct my thinking. Mm-hmm. Correct my heart so that out of it proceed life, not death. Out of it proceeds the ability for this to be a heart that maintains a softness that you can plant your seed in it and it can mature and grow.
The very end of Hosea 12 says to seek the Lord. To do all of that, till for yourself, you know, do all of that, and then to seek the Lord. I'll remind you. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you. That word seek, that is an active word, and that actually means to be so, it's like a dog after a bone that he buried. Just so tenacious going after that. And that's what God wants us. He wants us to be so tenacious for him that that's how we seek him. And a lot of times we do the opposite. We stand and we wait and say, okay, Lord, when are you going to touch me? Like I never get touched unless somebody comes over and prays for me. Or I never get anything unless, you know, somebody is saying, oh, I have a word for you. But that's not what this is saying. This is saying that I'm supposed to seek the Lord myself. You're supposed to seek the Lord yourself. Till he comes and rains righteousness on you. And when he does, that stuff, you know, that hurt so bad before, it still hurts, but it's not consuming. Does that make sense? It's not so all-consuming that I can't know that God's with me. He doesn't want us to be so consumed about one thing that it overtakes him in my life.
Rains righteousness on you. I just thought about this. If you think about that, what does that mean? Rain righteousness. Does that mean all of a sudden I'm gonna be good? I'm gonna act good. I'm gonna do everything right, you know. And so that's gonna be the outward sign that all these things are taking place. No, righteousness is God. Jesus is the epitome of righteousness. He is the righteous one, and the Holy Spirit now lives in us. The activity of the Holy Spirit is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So when we have righteousness as New Testament believers, people who have come through the identification of the cross and Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection for us, when righteousness reigns on us, when our heart is right, it's the fullness of God in us coming alive. It's who we are in him becoming reality. It's not that all of a sudden we just, you know, we don't sin anymore, or, you know, we act better than we used to. That may be accompanying it, but really what will be happening is who we're destined to be, who our Maker has designed and crafted us to be, manifests and becomes a reality to us. That we are not just, you know, a happenstance individual that just, you know, becomes whatever. We become what we've been designed to be. You know, and I'm sure if we're a tool, you know, that God wants to use, like a chainsaw, you know, if we're being used, or we think that we're being used as a hammer, but we're a chainsaw, it's not good for the job, and it's not good for the tool. Because when you start hitting on a chainsaw, like trying to pound in a nail, it's not the right thing. But if we let that righteousness shine in us, and then we see who God's made us to be, and then we're used as He's designed us to be, we have fulfillment. And what we've designed, what we've been designed to work for as His workmanship is fulfilled. Mm. Amen?
Yeah, amen. I'm sitting here thinking about how a lot of times that we are so consumed with what others have said about us in the past, or what, you know, like somebody said, oh, you're never going to go on beyond this or that. And I remember that I heard somebody say, if you don't get a high school education, you only have to learn 7 words after your high school education. Would you like fries with that order? If you're conditioned for that, a lot of times it takes you understanding God has something way more for you in store than saying, would you like fries with that order?
Even if you only have a high school education.
Exactly. Do you understand what I'm saying? God has way more for you than what anybody in your past has said about you.
Come on. That's good.
He has more for you.
Yes.
I want to read this story. A man was passing the elephants. He suddenly stopped, confused by the fact that these huge creatures were being held by only a small rope tied to their front leg. No chains, no cages. It was obvious that the elephants could at any time break away from their bonds, but for some reason they did not. He saw the trainer nearby and he asked why these animals just stood there and made no attempt to get away. Well, the trainer said, when they're very young and much smaller, we use this same size rope to tie them, and at that age, it's enough to hold them. As they grow up, they are conditioned to believe they cannot break away. They believe the rope can still hold them, so they never try to break free. The man was amazed. These animals could at any time break free from their bonds, but because they believed they couldn't, they were stuck right where they were. Like the elephants, how many of us go through life hanging on to a belief or something that's been said about us, and we take that as what it true gospel about who we are now, that we get stuck and we fail at anything we try because it's not what God had for us. You can break free of any hard thing that's hurt you in the past or in the recent past or even what might hurt you tomorrow. You are capable of being free from that by partnering with God, knowing that He has everything and more for you ahead. And He has a destiny for you that you can't even imagine. I mean, when I was a teenager, all I wanted was to be a pastor's wife. Don't ask me why I even thought that, but I did. But now that I'm a pastor's wife, that's not what God has for me. That's part of it, but that's not all. And if I never do anything more than get as close to Him as I can every single day, and I have no title at all, He's going to really love me a lot. And He's going to really love you because I am pursuing Him. Are you? Or are you just satisfied with what you got and what you've had? There's so much more, guys. He wants to have two-way street relationship with you and with me.
And when she says He's going to love you a lot, she's not saying that if you don't do that, you won't be loved by God. What she's saying is as you get closer to Him, you realize He loves you a lot. You're able to receive His love.
Yeah.
You're able to experience His love. And so it's as if He loves me. But He's always loved you. It's just that you can recognize it now. Amen. Well, Father, we just thank You for this opportunity again, Lord, to come before You and come into Your word. And Lord, we ask God that, Lord, that our fallow ground in our hearts, Lord, even areas of our hearts, Lord, that we're not realizing is fallow ground, Lord, that You would bring us to an understanding that there is fallow ground in us. And Lord, that we need to till it. And we need to work at the soil, God, so that You can plant the next seed.
And God, for those of us who have been conditioned through life, through circumstances, through belief systems, through people telling us things, especially those in authority, and we believe those lies, those illusions, God, that you would allow us to break free today. That just as the elephant just needs the illusion removed, that will not hold him. Lord, I pray that you would remove the illusion, God, that we're stuck in the situation, the circumstances we're in. We're not bound by our addictions. We're not bound by our own failures. We're not bound, Lord, by our own successes. But God, that you can take us beyond even all we thought or can imagine or think. And so right now, just touch our hearts. Touch our ground, Lord. Let your work, your tilling work, God, take place in us. And we, Lord, will come alongside and help you do it, Lord. We don't want to do this on our own strength. We can't do this on our own strength. So, Lord, we rely and we trust on you to help us to till these hearts, till this ground, so that it can produce the fruit that you desire. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Does anyone else have anything they want to share? Anyone? Come on up, Daniel. Because then they can't hear it. Because what you said last time was really good, so it's one of the gotchas for sharing. So.
Well, I just, when you were talking about the message, what should come back is the submission part and the come as you are part. And it's like the blade that penetrates the ground. See, the whole heart of the Lord is that you just present your heart to him, not that you work really hard at doing it or trying to figure out how the ground's going to be broken. You just have to come to him with your heart and submission to him and his goodness and his love and his faithfulness. Okay. See, he walks alongside you. He says that he teaches you because he's gentle and humble in heart. Come and learn from me, for my yoke is easy, my burden's light. There is a working part to our hearts that we work with him, but the part that we do is present our heart to him like the ground to the blade. And he loves it. He's a loving heart. His love for us is the whole focus of his being, is love. So it's not something you work really hard at. It's something that you give to him.
Right.
Amen.
It appears to be hard, but it's the more that we submit, like he's saying, and yield to the process, it can be easy. Well said. Anyone else? Shauna, come on up. Oh, come on up. Yeah, both those. Come on.
So before we heard you guys talking, God was really speaking to me about my dad. And he has a brain tumor and he has three other tumors that they found. But he said that those tumors, be thankful for those tumors because that's what's going to make him accept him. So I'm trying to be joyful. He told me to be joyful about it and not be sad about this whole process because the hope is so he can get to know Jesus. And I'm excited. Sorry, Betty.
Well, I just wanted to share, well, Pastor Gail was talking about, well, the heart, and that is also like our work. It kind of reminded me how also they were have been speaking in the past. Like she was talking about like our senses, our spiritual senses. And then lately I've been just like starting to listen to worship and just like really trying to get with him. And I'm starting like, Lord, you know, I want to be able to smell you and just feel you. So I know I need, you know, it's going to take me practice, even though it might sound silly, like, you know, how can you smell him or how can you? But I think if I keep doing it, or, you know, one of these days, I'll be able to smell him and feel him or see him. I don't know. I'm like, I really want to get my senses to just like when we imagine the lemon, or, you know, I want to smell him. I want to just feel him. So that's all.
No, that's good. You want to experience him in reality.
Yeah.
Which, for some, that seems impossible. But you know, we have spiritual senses, like you're saying. Just like we have normal smelling here, we have also senses of smell in the spirit. And so that's all it's going to take, is just for those to activate. For some, that sounds, that's impossible. I mean, how can she touch him? Well, she can touch him in the spirit. She is more spirit than she's physical. God is spirit. And so, I mean, there's a part of us that's fully connected. We just miss it here, the connection in the natural. But you keep pursuing and you will receive what you're after, because you're after intimacy.
When I was taking notes, I wrote that when we're tilling our soil, getting ready, that he takes care of the fertilizing and the nurturing of that soil in that time, so we become more enriched for his fruit. And I live in a community of orchardists, and my orchardist next door to me and my friends who are orchardists share their fruit with me. And the reason why he wants us to be fruitful, it isn't just for us. It is for us to share it. And I don't always share it. I am so human some days. And there are times I don't feel like sharing it because I'm just so tired or so discouraged. But he gives us opportunity to share it. Tara with her classes. Panda with work. Ruth with me on mornings when I'm having a crappy day already. You know, he gives us the opportunity to share our fruit. Hope when she comes and visits with me and brings me laughter when all I want to do is scream. God gives us the fruit of his love, his grace, and his mercy that we are to share. And that's our testimony. We share that. That's what he is enriching us for, and what he's growing his fruit in us for. That for us to consume and to give out to others. Even our friends who are Christians and our friends who are not Christians and people on the street, because I deal with street people now going into Sun Tower every day. That's what it's for. It's not just for us. It's for us to share too.
Amen. That's good. Yeah. Oh, someone say something? Just amen. Okay. Well, praise the Lord. So potluck in 15 minutes. You guys can hang up here for a bit, or you can start heading downstairs. There's tables and chairs set up down there. Again, anyone, more than welcome to come. Bill, I don't know if there's any way we can, is there any way we can get him down there? Can he, not safely. Okay. You got something planted at the house. Okay. Well, we love you guys. You guys have a great week. And again, downstairs, just go down these stairs. Go down the hall a little bit, turn, there's double doors, and that's where we'll be at. God bless you.
God bless you guys.
Thank you.